scripture that I received this morning, and it comes from Psalms 119, verse 105. And as you know, Psalms 119 is the longest scripture in the Bible. And it's full of that enlightening word about God. And this scripture in particular says, the word of God, the word is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. And so I just wanted to just get more into that enlightenment. And what does that light mean? And what happens when that illumination happens into your life? You know, because there's a difference between the illuminating light and enlightenment. And so we're gonna talk more about that and in that scripture. And we want to invite you guys to post your questions. We'll be watching, so you can chime in on Facebook. And if you have opinions, please share those opinions. We want to hear what you have to say, because it's not about us, it's about you. We want to share what God is saying to us, so we can hear from you and answer some of those questions that you might have in regards to the Word of God. And so with that, I'm going to read something, because as I read that, I looked for some information, some more information about that, and I came across this here word that talks about what is the biblical doctrine of illumination. And Elder, if you can read that first paragraph for us, and we can dive into this here.
So the question is, what is the biblical doctrine of illumination? The answer to that question is, simply put, illumination, in the spiritual sense, is turning on the light of understanding in some area. Throughout the ages, people in every culture and religion have claimed some kind of revelation or enlightenment from God, whether true or not. When that enlightenment deals with new knowledge or future things, we call it prophecy. When that enlightenment deals with understanding and applying knowledge already given, we call it illumination. Regarding illumination of the latter type, the question arises, how does God do it?
You know, and when I came across this, it really touched me, because for me, that light really lit up in my life when I was away, and it blew, you know, and I got enlightenment, but it didn't begin to illuminate until later on. You know, and I think that's important that we talk about that enlightenment part, because as it says, the enlightenment, it deals with the new knowledge of future or future things. And that's what it was. It was an enlightenment during that time of discontent, when I was going through some things and trying to find myself. And there was an enlightenment that happened in my life where God spoke to me. And it opened up a new door for me, a new knowledge door.
Enlightenment normally, for those of us walking in Christ, will bring an understanding to an already situation, problem, thought, study. It just makes you grasp the meaning of that thing even more. Versus illumination. Now, an illumination happens so much in a prophetic way, because that's what prophecy is. It's the word of God going forth, whether it's a current word or whether it's a word about the future, it's the word of God going forth. The Holy Spirit brings the understanding of the word to you a lot of times of what something you didn't already know. So it illuminates your pathway, the job to help order your steps. That's why you read this scripture. That light, that illumination of the path is so that you start to walk in what God is telling you or showing you needs to be done.
And as I said, opening my scripture, it gave me some more. It says, imagine trekking through the woods on a pitch dark night with only a lantern or a flashlight to guide you. How would you stay on the track? How would you know where to go? And how would you keep from getting lost? You know, and it says here, Psalm shares some insight. Your word is the lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So even though you have a flashlight, but you still don't know the way out. So God's word illuminates things. See, the flashlight gives you some insight, gives you light, but the word of God gives you insight on where to go.
It gives you direction.
You know, and too often that because we have light but no direction, you know, we tend to, then we question God. You know, because like I said, I had knowledge. I had enlightenment of the word. So I had a little light, but it didn't illuminate inside of me to give me direction. So I had to spend more time with God so he can illuminate that enlightenment that he gave me. You know, because I had to be connected to the source. And that's the important part. And that's what the scripture is talking about here. It's talking about he is the light of our path. You know, we're not the light in ourselves. He is the source that keeps us lit up. And that's the part that we lose sight of. And so we have to stay more into this word that he's talking about. If you want to, can you read that second paragraph?
The most basic level of enlightenment is the knowledge of sin. And without that knowledge, everything else is pointless. Let me go to Psalms 18:28. I want to read that one.
Yes,
oh, okay. Psalms 18:28 says, you, O Lord, keep my light burning. My God turns my darkness into light. And then Psalms 119, which is, of course, we know the longest chapter in the Bible, is a song about God's word. In verse 130, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. This verse establishes the basic method of God's illumination. When God's word enters the heart of a person, it gives light and understanding to them. For this reason, we are repeatedly told to study the word of God. Psalms 119 and 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verses 98 and 99 say, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes.
So it goes right back into what we said, that that enlightenment that we get, it gives us a knowledge of him. But the illumination, the direction doesn't begin to open up until so long as we stay in his word and stay connected to him. Because sometimes we think we made it to a point, but we're still in the wilderness.
My spirit just gave me this example, and I literally saw this maze. You ever see mice? They put mazes, and they don't usually put them in the dark. They're in light, and they're running around, or like you go to the carnival and get in the maze, and there's light, and there's mirrors, and you see faces, but you don't see your way out. So you get the enlightening by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that the light comes in. But the knowledge and the understanding of the direction for your pathway only comes through the illumination of where to go by the Holy Spirit.
Because in simpler terms, if you want to make it look like a light switch, you turn the switch on, it gives you the light of understanding that you didn't see before. So So if you turn the light out, you're not going to see it because it'll be dark.
And that's what enlightening does for us.
Yep.
And that light, the light that comes from accepting Jesus Christ, turns the switch on.
Yep.
But if you stay in that room with just that light on, you don't get to know nothing about the rest of the rooms. And only the Holy Spirit can take you to the rest of those rooms.
Yeah, another question.
I look at it with an analogy of a person who's blind. And initially, a blind person has no direction until they, once they learn to get familiar with what's around them. And the word is all over our familiarity comes in, like the blind person's sight, that they don't have sight, but they are getting visual sight through touch, smell, the other senses. So I can analogize the fact that when a person is blind, learning, just, I mean, you end up watching them. They do so many things, but they're not blind, which in my world resembles how my life started with God. Because it was seeds planted as a young child, but until I got older, I didn't know direction.
Wow. Wow, that's good. That's real good. I just got to say this one thing.
Okay, you need to read that third.
Okay. And I'm sure we're going to touch more on this, but it almost hollered at me when you first started talking, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "The illumination doesn't come instantaneously, nor is it the first part of what God gives you. It is a process." And a lot of us, not everybody, but a lot of us don't begin to get that illumination until we've matured much in the Word.
You know, you talk about amazed, and it's just like anything that's made. You know, the person who made it knows how to get you out of it. You know, and so if you look at the maze from up top, you can see the way out.
Yeah.
And this is God.
Yeah.
This is God with our life. He's seeing it from bird's eye view. We're seeing it from level playing field. And so if we tap into the resource who has a bird's eye view of direction to go, He can give us the illumination that we need in our life, but we have to spend time with Him because He's purposed us for a reason, and He has a plan and a purpose. See, the world want to keep you stuck in the maze, and He wants you to be dependent on Him. But God wants you to be dependent on Him because He created you for His purpose.
We have another question, and then you can read that next one because it taps into that. What is the Holy Spirit's illuminating work in believers?
What is the word? The word says the Holy Spirit's job is to bring wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's the illumination of the Holy Spirit.
And that's what Jesus said. He said, "I'm leaving, but I'm sending you another comforter who could continue to give you insight and revelation of what I've been teaching you." And that's what happens. So, and this is why it's so important for us as children of God to be that illumination of who God has spoken to us, because there's some who may never come into the church, who may never even read the word, but they see you and see the action. There's some people who never went to the temple, but seen Jesus and wanted what Jesus had. And he opened up doors for their lives. And this is what we have to be. And that's why it's important for us to do our part.
Okay, I'd like to read this for you. Regular study of the Word of God will give direction and understanding and the issues of life. This is the first method of God's illumination and the starting point for us all. In Psalms 119, we also find another type of God's illumination. Verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. These are not new revelations, but things which have been written and revealed long before and just now understood by the reader." One of those aha moments. Similarly, verse 73 says, "Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands." The plea is for personal understanding and the application of God's laws as they are studied by the individual. 15 times in this psalm, God is asked to teach or give understanding regarding his laws.
I just wanted to hear a minister talking and preaching today, and what he spoke about was how lost the world is and lost in sin, and it was like everybody's going to heaven.
He said he feels like everyone's going to heaven.
He said it's out there in the world
that everybody thinks they're going to heaven.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And he was saying how it's the church's obligation to make sure that the world is not thinking that. My question is, how do we do that? Like, how do we do that with the world? Like,
so I'm going to answer that because this is one of the places God has had. You know, we've been studying a group of us, led by Pastor Chris, we've been studying the last day. A book by Reverend Brennan called Sad Hearing. Awesome book. It's just awesome. I can't say enough about it. I'm not trying to get you to sell books, but I'm telling you, it's awesome book. It's plenty of it. But the truth is, until we teach and preach the truth of the word, they will always be duped. The word says that the enemy is going to deceive the very elect. So even after we teach and preach the word, there's still going to be some people who are not believe it. They're going to be fooled by what the world is saying. But we have to go back. The word talks about this in Revelation. We have to go back to teaching what the foundation is. And the foundation is what? Jesus Christ, our Savior. When you teach Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, God have hope. But when you teach Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, and people start to hear the word, because the word says faith comes by hearing. What? Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Then their faith is increased. When their faith is increased, their thirst or desires shift so that they want more of the word, and then they start to believe the truth.
And that's how, that's how I believe. I know that's how I got on. I got on.
Yes.
It was exactly what you said. It was hearing more through my experiences and seeing that God was only the one there delivering me, saving me, family turning against you, literally, I was led to see specifically family that you feel like grandmother, grandfather, people that are just the one that don't never turn on you. Was that I heard say bad things about me, but I didn't take it in a negative way. I did initially, but later I had to know that that was God showing me that only He loves me with that condition.
Can I say something to you? And I just shared this with someone earlier today. And the world tells us that this battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against spirits and principalities. You know, so the enemy knows the only way I can hurt you, to really hurt you, is through the people who are close to you. You know, because if it was a stranger, it wouldn't bother you as much. You know, if it was somebody, a friend, just like, it wouldn't bother you. You can move on. It's always going to be those ones that's closest to you. And the part that we have to, and this is how we're going to make a difference. Because we can't become what we
despise. The world says, heap coal on them. You know, so you love on them the same way you would desire to be loved. You don't have to continue to get beat up by it. You know, you love from a distance. You love from afar. You love with the agape love where you never want to see no harm or hurt. You will be there if they need it, where it's not compromising or hurting you. You know, however, we can't allow our heart to become indifferent or cold because of that hurt. Because just imagine if God felt that way about us.
That's what I always tend to reflect that.
And people say, I'm not God.
I always reflect that. What would God do? You know what I mean? How would God love regardless of what the situation is? And because I know he has that unconditional love, and I'm supposed to be in his likeness and image, I'm supposed to also reflect that unconditional love.
Think about it. You see it in the money. You see it in Jesus. Jesus knew with everything that was going to happen to him, in spite of all that, he still loved the people the same way, even Judas. No matter what, even Peter, we knew Peter was going to turn his back. Even his mama, who he told, Mom, it's not the time yet. You know, over and over again, we've seen examples of how to overcome that, because even his mom, he knew she didn't mean it any malice. She did it out of She wanted to provide for the people. Even Peter. Peter didn't do it to hurt Jesus, but that was in his own weakness. Judas, he didn't want to kill Jesus. He wanted him to just be who he believed he was supposed to be according to his own image. You know, and this is what happens to men. We have our own perception of how we think things should be, and some of the ways we are is because of some of the things we've been through.
So, but I like to add to that, because I saw something when you were talking, start naming the disciples. In the word, we understand that the Holy Spirit didn't come on the scene in us after Jesus left the earth. So, knowing that, it helps us to understand those family, friends, strangers who have not fully received the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know that's going to be a question for some people. They'll say, well, they said he's saved because he accepted Jesus. Okay, but there's three entities to this part. And one piece of missing if you only did the first two. Okay. But there was no Holy Spirit on the scene in our hearts when Jesus was walking this earth, or before he walked this earth either. And so those who were deceived, the disciples, others who did not walk in the way of the word, did not have the Holy Spirit to illuminate them to the understanding of the word. Does that make sense? And so once Jesus left this earth, and as Pastor Rob said, and the Holy Spirit was left here as our comforter, the fact that he was called the comforter said that he was going to do all the things to make our lives us be more at peace here on earth. Okay. But his job was to come by the word to bring wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Before Christ's death, they weren't getting that from the Holy Spirit. They were only getting it from what the prophets said. The Spirit had Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have always been here. But it wasn't in them. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's read this next passage.
Oh, boy.
This touches right on just what she said.
One passage that sometimes stirs controversy regarding illumination is John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Okay, I like this part. Okay. John 14, I'm going to say it right now. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
He said all things.
All things.
He ain't say some things. He said all things.
So I just want to, oh, okay. You like to find me? I got it right here. I just got it up because I wanted to read.
It's more in that scripture. It's more in that.
You start unpacking scripture. It gets y'all excited. I just want y'all to know. Okay. So while I'm looking, pulling this up on my phone, John.
Yeah, I got it.
Let me share this with you. Now, prayerfully, this will be an illumination from the Holy Spirit. When God created Adam, he placed in him a brain that named every animal, anything crept on everything. And the scientists are already telling you, in just the bugs alone, there are 3 billion types of bugs on here. Adam named those. Adam named all of this stuff. Why am I saying that? Does that give you some inclination of how smart Adam must have been? So, but after the fall, meaning after they sinned, the authority to do that was hampered. I didn't say it was taken away. No, God never took back the authority. But it was definitely hindered really bad. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, when he comes, hear this, I want to get up and run around the church right now. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings to you and reminds you of what he's already told you. He already told us this before we were formed in our mother's womb. Because the word says that he knew us before then. So we know some stuff we ain't never talked about.
You get the head. You get the head. All right. So let me read that scripture on the Amplified. It says, "But the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, stand by the Holy Spirit with the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I have told you." And if you continue to read on here, Elder.
Verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I..."
Read it. After you read that, Jesus speaking to the disciples.
Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the upper room, giving them last instructions before his death. This special group of men was to be responsible for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world. They had spent 3.5 years with him, watching his miracles and hearing his teaching. They would relay those things to the rest of the world and would need God's special help remembering those things accurately. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would teach them and remind them of what had been said so that they could give it to others, including the writing of the gospel. This verse does not teach that the Spirit will do so with all believers. Though there are other verses that speak of the Spirit's illuminating work. And
So if we go to that and look at that, now why do you think it said that it doesn't illuminate to all believers? They don't receive it. You see, one thing Elder said earlier today is that you can get illumination. You turn on that light switch and you stay in one room. And this is what happened to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They had illumination. They had revelation of God's word, but they were stuck in one room. They refused to open up the enlightenment, the more illumination that God was given, because it didn't reflect what they thought it should reflect. So we can box God in. And that's why sometimes we hamper and hinder what God has for us. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to fully guide and direct us out of the wilderness that we're in because we get too comfortable where we're at. Sounds like the world right now. You know, and this is how we stay down. And this is why that pastor was there. This is why we have to need that light and insight. Because the people desired what Jesus had in spite of what the Sadducees and the Pharisees had. They wanted what Jesus had because Jesus was giving them something even more. And that's what we have to be. And if you read this in the next part, it says, what is the Holy Spirit's illuminating work in believers? Ephesians 1:17-18 tells us, it tells us that the Spirit gives wisdom and revelation concerning Jesus Christ and opens the eyes of the understanding so we can know God's purpose for our lives. And see, what happens is the world want to keep us in the box. And we want to base our lives off of someone else's life. So we stay stuck based off of what somebody else is doing. And what God has purposed Elder for is not the same thing he purposed me for. So if I base my life off of what Elder's doing or what she's not doing, I'm going to be stuck in that box. Or worried about how far she's going and where I'm at. So I got to add to that because
this illumination, we keep talking about how the Spirit illuminates, gives you understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. And Pastor just expounded on that by saying the purpose is to give you purpose, so you walk in your purpose. Most people won't trust the word that the Spirit illuminates in them because it may sound different to them than what it did when the man said it. Let me make sure you understand what I mean. When the Holy Spirit starts bringing back to your remembrance those things that you weren't initially focused on, it probably is going to sound strange. Because remember, some of this stuff you had up in this noggin that the old folks used to say, with all that brain, did not come to the forefront of your mind. The Holy Spirit had to bring it. So it may not have been anything you heard from Sally, Jane, Joe, or Jane, or John. It may be just what the Lord brought back to your remembrance for your purpose that makes you have to move in a way that nobody else around you may be moving.
And the question that I was going to say is, all of this is surrounded by the Holy Spirit, illumination of our of getting the knowledge and wisdom that he already gave us. It all centers around how strong is your
No,
it's not just
faith's got to do something with it, right?
Faith is a part of it.
Right.
Faith is definitely a part of it because that's not to say the Sadducees and the Pharisees didn't have faith. They had faith, but they didn't receive. They had faith in themselves and what they believed. So they put a cap on what God can do. So let me read this here because it goes into, it says, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 13. And I'm going to read out of Amplified. And it says, for God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently and even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsel of the things far beyond human understanding. For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. Verse 13 says, we also speak of these things, not in the words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but and those taught by the Spirit combined with the interpreting spiritual thoughts and with the spiritual words for those being guided by the Holy Spirit.
He just said a whole lot.
He
read
a whole lot. Oh my God. And that's what.
I just want to make this really clear, because while we were all talking this now, it came to me. If you were listening and did not have illumination of the Spirit, you may think we're telling everybody that just you be whoever you are, be your individual self. In essence, you are going to be your individual self because we're all different, but we're all the same. And the next scripture makes that clear. The Holy Spirit's bringing us understanding and illumination so that we can walk in our purposes, but our purposes are for the kingdom. So that we're never an isolated one-man show. This is all about the God's kingdom, the community of the kingdom, God's will and his desire, which is for his kingdom dwellers. And so we have to remember that even though the Holy Spirit may tell, the Holy Spirit may tell me, get up right now and tell them you have to go, and I have someone outside to get you a minister. And if he said that, I'd have to get up. But God is not separating his body. The purpose is to bring his body together. And for what purpose is that? To do his will.
And that's what Ephesians 1:17-18 tells us. It says that the Spirit gives wisdom and revelation concerning Jesus Christ and opens the eyes of the understanding so we can know God's purpose for our lives. That's what it's about. And that's when we talk about that illumination. That illumination, it gives you more insight into what God is saying to you. Because where you're at right now, you spoke about it earlier, sis, when you talked about you got revelation as far as where you were going. And there's still more revelation coming up into you. You know, I talk about myself all the time because there's some things God has spoken to me. And I can remember, we talked about 25 years we're celebrating here at Harvest. I can remember 20 years ago, Dr. Wayne speaking to me about the vision that God has given him for Faith Harvest and the school. And here now, we're sitting 20 years later, where we have over 200 students here. We had 3-5 graduates happen, and it didn't happen overnight. It took 20 years to happen, you know, and what happens is because God gives you revelation and we don't see those things happening right away, just like the children in the wilderness who were supposed to go from one point to another point, but because they didn't see it the way they wanted to see it, they begin to murmur and complain like we do as humans, and we miss some of the insight that God has given us, and we miss it because we're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit because it don't look like what we think it should.
So I'm going to read this piece, this last piece I think that you have here, because it has something to do with what you just said.
We'll get to your question.
The Spirit of God will always point us to the Word of God for our instruction. So let me stop there. That just sums up what we just said. The Holy Spirit is not giving us, even though it may seem new to us, He's not going to give you something outside of the Word of God. It's going to be in the Word. Now, your job is to get in the Word so you can understand. But it's going to be in the Word. Okay. So the Spirit of God will always point us to the Word of God for our instruction. As Jesus told his disciples in John 16:12-15, the Spirit...
Can I read that before you go?
Go ahead.
I want to read that scripture. And it says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what it is to come in the future. He will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine because this I said that he, the Spirit, will take from what is mine and will reveal it to you. And what's so important is that we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we get stuck on what we want to do and not what God is saying to do. And now that you continue to read that part where you stopped off at, where the Spirit simply...
The Spirit simply repeats.
There you go.
The Spirit simply repeats what the Father and the Son have already said. This repetition helps us remember and fully hear what God has already told us. Sometimes we have to hear things several times before we actually hear them. That's where the Spirit comes in. One thing that is sometimes overlooked in the discussion of illumination is the purpose of it. To hear some arguments, it would seem that the whole purpose of illumination is an accurate and academic understanding of God's word. There is no question that God desires us to accurately understand what he has given us. Words have meaning, and we must pay attention to the details in those words. If, however, we stop there, we simply have an academic understanding of facts or philosophies which do no one any good.
You know, and this is what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, they had information, they had understanding, but they didn't have insight, they didn't have illumination of the word. You know, because they couldn't see beyond that academic understanding of it. And that's where the revelation. Look, I didn't go to school for academic. That wasn't me. I didn't go to biblical studies and all that. No, I didn't. But God continues to reveal his word to me through the Holy Spirit. Today, I had no idea what we were going to do. My intention was to be with Pastor Bruce and share on what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. But he couldn't make it today. And my prayers is with him and his family, Pastor Bruce. My prayers are with you and your brother and your cousin and your family. But once he told me that, all I did was tap into the Holy Spirit and went to the word that I got this morning about the illumination, the light. And he is the light that lights the path. The illumination. And that's the part that we got to trust, that Holy Spirit that continues to speak to us beyond our understanding. Beyond our understanding, family. And that's going to help guide and direct you more than any academic knowledge, more than what you hear from politicians, more than you hear from anybody else. You got to trust the Holy Spirit, that word that God is speaking to you. And anytime anybody else speaks to you, all they're going to do is reveal and give credence to what God has already spoken into your
life.
I want
to add to that, if I can. Come on. But for those who couldn't hear, our sister with us, she said that God will just ask God to understand and He will give it to you. And she's right. I want to add to that. Because don't ask God expecting God to answer when and how you think He should. He may answer you, and He may not answer you, and that might be your answer. He may be silent for a while. He may send somebody to do something, and that's your answer. You may not audibly hear, and we do hear God speak audibly. You may not audibly hear God answer that particular question, but the answer will come because He sent the Holy Spirit to be able to give you the answer. But that means you got to study, you got to get in His presence, and you got to pray because you don't know which way He's coming. I also want to add this thing. We're in this world nowadays where people have tainted prophecy and prophets. They've kind of pimped it out. But if you go back to the Word of God, the true Word of God, God's Word says that He will do nothing except He reveal it to the prophets first. That's the Word said. I didn't say that. He also says, though, that His Word comes to us. I was just reading this, which made me have to think about this. This is in Ephesians 3, starting the first verse. I'm going to read it to number 5. For this cause, this is Paul talking, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, meaning this is the dispensation we're in now. Grace. How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, as I told you before, I wrote that down as what He's telling you. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So when you read what I wrote, the Holy Spirit's going to let you understand the knowledge and understanding I received. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Why am I reading that? We must be clear that He's still speaking through His prophets, but He also speaks to us individually. The Word said that He would pour His Spirit in this season. He poured His Spirit out upon all flesh. So that means if the Holy Spirit's in you, you can hear like a prophet can hear. Don't mean He won't send a prophet to you, but you can hear.
Got it.
I believe this boils down to, as you guys said, the founding relationship. Because if you have a found and grounded relationship, spend time with God, read the Word, take some time in silence so you can hear His Word, hear Him speak to you, and not just move in zeal and in anxiety, because when you do that, I believe you allow the enemy to come in and scramble up and give you accepted things you think is God's word.
Because it's what your desire is. So we read close. I just want to read this last part. You get the close. It says, going back to Psalms 119, we find purpose statements connected to, and if you want to write it down, family out there, you here, write it down. It says, we find purpose statements connected with the illumination verse. I will meditate on your wonders, verse 26 in chapter 27 in verse 1 in chapter 119. It says, I will keep your laws and obey it with all my heart, verse 34, that I may understand your statutes, verse 125, that I may live, 144. The illumination always points to action. Why does God help us understand his word? So we are able to live in its light. 1 John 1:16 challenges us. 1:6. My glasses, oh my goodness. See, I can't see far, but I can see close. 1:6 challenges us. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. We could paraphrase it to say, if we say we've been enlightened, but still walk in dark, we lie about understanding God's word. The Spirit of God who enlightens us to hear and understand God's word then takes that knowledge and guides us in living it. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The illuminating and leading work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is confirmation that we are indeed children of God. So you ask, how can we change the world? That's how we will change the world. So, Elder, with that, family, we get ready to close out. As we say all the time, we know the word is free. It doesn't cost you a thing. All it takes is your time spending in his word and hearing and taking it in. However, Ministry Ducks course, we here at Harvest are looking to do many things. However, it takes not just financial, but it takes people. There's purpose on your life, and there's some things that God has called you to do to be a part of the kingdom. And we want, if it's not here at Harvest, wherever it is, we want you to do what God is calling you to do. So if God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. It's up on the screen. If God has told you Harvest is a place where your ministry can be at, come be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. Sundays at 10:30, on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, we here throughout the week. Our school is open every day. We want to be open every day in the week, including Saturdays if possible. But it takes all of you and all of us. So if God has placed that on your heart, please be a part of that. And with that, I'm going to give Elder the mic and let her close with scripture or whatever God has laid on my heart.
I'm going to give you a scripture, and then I pray that you would write this down and that you would read it tonight and read it tomorrow. And it is a prayer as well. And it comes out of Ephesians 3:14. It will be very familiar to some of you. And then I'm closing. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. And finally, 20 says, and now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in him, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages without end. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. Hope to see you Sunday.
What's up, bro? All's well. All right, man. You be safe.
Go Cowboys.
Oh, that's terrible, man. It's terrible. Hey, hey, what's up? All right, good night.